In the third aliyah of Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov is about to give a bracha specifically to Ephraim uMenashe, and we find that his hands are still switched. And the pasuk tells us, "Vayar Yosef ki yashes aviv yad imino al rosh Ephraim, vayera beinav, vayismoch yad aviv lahasir osa me'al rosh Ephraim, al rosh Menashe." Yosef tries to get him to switch the hands back to have his right hand on the head of the older boy. And this is despite the fact that they were switched from before. Some Mefarshim suggest that this interaction actually came at the beginning of the process of the brachos, while others suggest that Yosef is mentioning it now because beforehand he was saying brachos that were relevant to everyone. It wasn't necessarily so significant. But now that he was about to give specific brachos to them, he thought it was more important that he had the order correct. Nonetheless, Yaakov declines. So Yaakov says, I understand they're both going to be great, but the younger one is going to be greater. And Rashi explains here that the focus is actually on those who will come from him, that Ephraim will be the ancestor of Yehoshua, while Menashe will be the ancestor of Gidon. And while they are both great, Gidon will be the source of miracles, Yehoshua will be the one who will bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael. And the Rashi of Karen Biavner of Goldwicht has an essay about this in which he emphasizes that while the Jews benefited from miraculous existence in the Midbar, their entry into the land of Israel is the crucial part of their development when they had to take responsibility for their own lives and functioning in a natural way. And therefore, Yehoshua's role as the leadership of that stage is very crucial and being highlighted here. There is a medrash that has Yaakov responding to Yosef, "Don't try to push me away. I already had this fight with the Malach." And Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky suggests that the point is that Yosef was essentially trying to repeat the same debate that had happened already with Yaakov and Esav, that Yosef was saying that the skills of Menashe, who was more savvy, would be more important for the survival in Galus than the Talmud Chacham of Ephraim. And Yaakov was saying, essentially, this is what happened to me with Esav, and I've already proved otherwise. I have succeeded and shown that my skills are more crucial. But this is all particularly surprising because one would think that Yaakov had learned his lesson, that favoring the younger child over older children causes problems and indeed led to the entire fight between Yosef and his brothers. So the fact that he seems to be doing this again is something that requires some explanation. And there are those who suggest along different lines. Some understand that the point specifically is that Ephraim and Menashe didn't have any jealousy between them. Rav Tzal Rudinsky quotes a explanation from the Chidah that the brothers actually had a Yisachar Zvulun kind of agreement, and they were supportive of each other, and there was no jealousy between them, and they understood their roles. And in fact, that is why we use the bracha that's given to them as the bracha for our own children, because we should all wish that our children understand their roles as well as Ephraim and Menashe did, and indeed don't have jealousy towards each other, because each one appreciates the part that they play. Similarly, but a little bit differently, in the Sefer Das Shlomo, he suggests that Yaakov was actually trying to test them and to see if there was any jealousy between them, and that was an important part of the bracha process. There is a very fascinating interpretation, the Sefer Yalkud Me'ish L'Riehu, that suggests that indeed it is specifically the point that Yaakov did have this bad experience with favoring a younger child over the older children, and he had indeed learned his lesson, and that was the point. And he was trying to convey to Yosef just exactly what it feels like to have a younger child elevated over the older children, so that he should learn to forgive his older brothers. He should have a sensitivity to how they were slighted and should understand that he should forgive them. And therefore, when he says to him, "Yadati v'ni yadati," he's saying, "Yes, indeed, I understand. I know what it means to have this kind of reversal, and I'm trying to convey it to you, and indeed, you should forgive them." So the next pasuk tells us, "V'yavarchim b'yom ahu le'mor, b'cha yivarch Yisrael le'mor, Yisimcha Elohim ki Ephraim v'chi Menashe v'yasem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe." He gives them this bracha, and he says, through this is how the Jews shall bless their children. And indeed, this has become the practice. specifically on Friday nights. Why that is the case, that's the topic of some discussion. The Mavriya book suggests it's because on Friday nights there's no kitruk from the Satan. Rav Yaakov Emden writes that on Friday night there is a shefa of brachos, there's an overflow of blessings, and therefore we try to tap into that. The Shuvas Chassam Sofer has a more pragmatic explanation that during the week we're too busy, so we don't necessarily have the time. We take advantage of the more relaxed atmosphere. And similarly, the Likutei Maharich understands that during the week, people are tense and they're fighting with each other, and that's not a good atmosphere for brachos. And on Shabbos, we're more peaceful, and that's when we are able to take advantage of that atmosphere and confer brachos. The Targum Yonason has a reference here to the Yom HaMila in this context. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests that the idea is that the bracha should be directed to the father specifically, that he should be able to raise his children in this fashion. The last pasuk of the Leah has Yaakov saying, "Vani nasati l'cha shchem achad alachecha asher lakachti miyad ha'amori b'charbi uv'kashti. I now assign you one more portion over your brothers that I have taken from the Amori Becharbi Vakashti." So what exactly does that mean? Literally, that translates with my sword and with my bow. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, as well as Unkelus, understand it as a reference to Tefillah. So Unkelus has here the phrasing Betzlosi Uva'usi, which are two different types of Tefillah. And there are various suggestions as to what they represent. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the cherev is a reflection of the tefillos that are of a personal nature, while the keshet refers to those that speak to larger national needs. The Mesha Chachma understands that cherev refers to those tefillos that are established and part of the general routine, while the keshes are those that are more personalized. And the symbolism is that a cherev, a sword, is effective without much effort. It's a part of the standard nusach, while an arrow, as a private supplication, needs much more kavana, just like to be effective with an arrow requires more attention and more skill. And Blazer Geltzeler, in his Sichos, points out that while that's indeed true, requires more skill, but an arrow can go much further, and it corresponds to how much effort is put into it. Chazkel Abramsky commented that the way Chazal know that the Pasuk is not talking about a literal sword and a literal bow is because it's out of order, that in the physical war, first they use the arrows that go from a greater distance, and then when they get closer, then they're able to use the sword. So the fact that he uses the sword here, and only afterwards references the keshes, that shows you that we're not talking about a physical war, but rather the spiritual tools of tefillah. Rashiv Kambi Avner of Goldwicht has a long essay about this in which he references a medrash that Rav Yehuda understands that this is actually a reference to the Bechora that Yaakov says he obtained with his mitzvos and maisim tovim. And the notion of mitzvos and maisim tovim, mitzvos refer to general religious obligations, and maisim tovim are more personalized actions that speak to one's particular character. And in this sense, the imagery is that a sword is a blunt instrument. Ironically, it's a sharp instrument, but it functions like a blunt instrument in that it's able to do its damage without much skill. And the mitzvos here are referring to those which are generalized obligations that anyone could do, while a maisim tovim reference refers to that which is much more personalized and transmit one's actual personality into the behaviors. And therefore, Yaakov is referring to both types of accomplishments. And he's conveying here how he earned the birthright, both through his general piety, but also through his unique accomplishments. And this is one more emphasis of what we're finding in this Aliyah, that everyone has specific attributes and skills that they bring to the table, and each one has its place. And the ideal bracha is one that recognizes how we are each able to contribute in our own way, and not to feel jealousy for the role that the other plays, and to recognize and appreciate how they all come together to make their individual contribution. Helping us to understand once again why this is the bracha that Klal Yisrael has used for generations.